needed to rip down Garvin, and then they didn't clean up after them. And what that created was a navigational hazard. Why couldn't those mining companies go and clean up their mess after they contaminated our area? That's all I have.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Certainly.
My name is June Peterson Kugelman. I have two Eskimo names, Akpeluruk and Akusin. I was glad I have two uncles here who spoke already. My father is from the council area, born in council, raised council, Fish River, White Mountain area. My mom is from the Kobuk area. I have a big family who lives there, relatives. Right now I've been on the board of directors for Council Native Corporation for the last 3 years, and all these years since 1971 I've always tried to be a neutral person where you look on both sides of an argument type of thing. And in the last couple of years, to me, I can see a lot of problems already that, you know, when somebody mentioned about barracudas coming, I think some of them are already here. At least I can see it from our local corporation, Native Corporation. And the other thing is, my feeling is that when I get older and when my kids want to start living up here, or I have other family, I have nieces and nephews, and if they have children, I want them to be able to say that this is their land too, and then not people today being real hasty and wanting to get rid of the land, not wanting to get rid of money so fast. I'm real concerned about this. In fact, I debated on whether I should run for the corporation again, only because in our local corporation it's just a big argument. A lot of us can't agree on this or that. So now, right now I'm in the minority, and then this, you know, what's the use? What's the use of fighting if people want to give away or sell this and that, or and not care for people who want to live there? Like I say, I have many relatives who live in this area. You know, I'm just real concerned with the future use of the land and future owners. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Siegfried A. Kuhn, Jr. from Gullum Native Corporation. And I feel this year, 1990, will continue for quite a while. And the only way we can solve that problem is, you know, of course it won't be solved though, is to work with all the corporations, work with the IRA and traditional to solve some kind of problem with it. That's my understanding on how we can go about it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, my name is Ken Shikunruk. I'm a shareholder of White Mountain Corporation, and I'd like to see ANCSA get together with the federal government to appeal the surface and subsurface rights and the subsistence rights of the Native people of Alaska, and try and keep the corporations, keep all the subsurface and surface land for the Native corporations. And I would like to know, see, my father, he asked me to ask about the fish camp. See, he bought the land when I was younger, and he didn't tell me about it, and was wondering see if he did own the subsurface land where our fish camp is at. And that was before the Land Claim Settlement Act came up.
Well, if he has a native allotment, the allotment would have certain reservations, that is, certain minerals would still be mm-hmm. held by the federal government, so he wouldn't own all the subsurface rights, but he'd have to look into that.
See, at the time of the settlement, when people were getting their allotments, I was attending school in Anchorage, and we were living in Anchorage, and we weren't notified about the native allotments. And we didn't receive any land under the allotments at the time and never were notified. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would like to appeal to ANCSA and the federal government to open up the native allotments for the people of Alaska.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have asked, have said that should be done. One of the problems is that the state has made its selections of land, the federal government has made its selections, the native corporations are making their selections. It might be very, very difficult to persuade Congress to mm-hmm. to open up native allotments again. That might be one of the very tough things to get them to do. There's other things I'm sure they would do. But a lot of people in a lot of villages have made the same point that you have.
Okay, thank you.
But like Kenny say, that his father wasn't, I mean, well, he didn't know about it, and he was aged. Well, he was entitled to it, but he didn't get that piece of paper that was to him, to his father. But why can't his son appeal that and make it good? So it'll be just like as any other natives around here that have land claim.
Well, unless the application was made before ANCSA, it's too late. That's the problem.
But if you go after everything, like, you can't go after it just once. Like, I'm not prejudiced against nobody, white people and black people or anybody, but I love them all, okay? I'd like to see what they have, what they got, what they're coming. So I think Kenny's dad is well qualified to have an allotment in our corporation. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure.
Judge Thomas Berger, my name is Daniel Kakasinor Carmen Sr., 57 years, an Eskimo resident on the Seward Peninsula. And I consider myself very fortunate in the first half of my lifetime in growing up with the elders in my community and learning many of the aspects of their subsistence way of life. Then the latter part of my life growing up with young people in the community here of Nome. So I've seen both sides practically of the issues and the changes that have come about with ANCSA. I remember so well in growing up the freedom we as Eskimos had in roaming the country to fish at a certain lake, river, or sea, and to hunt and trap to sustain our livelihood for survival without any barriers. We respected one another's campsite, fishing, hunting grounds. When another was less fortunate in their catch, to allow that one to subsist in a friend's area. we all shared together, which was a tradition amongst our people. We respected the use of our resources, whether it be in land use, wildlife, fowl, or beast, marine mammals, and fisheries. Our people, in a true sense, are true model conservationists to utilize and benefit in the use of resources along with orderly requirement of development. A lesson some of our extremists in the same field can learn rather than denying the right of our people to use those natural resources in which we depend upon for our survival. Our people always honored that unseen spirit that gave in abundance in return. Those were the good days. With the implementation of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, took away much of our freedoms we enjoyed in the past. I appreciate the fact that many of our Aleut, Eskimo, and Indian people done their utmost in keeping Uncle Sam from taking away everything we enjoyed in the past. To me, no legislation is perfect. There's always unknown factors that surface, such as issues that are surfacing now in ANCSA. ANCSA, in effect, makes our children, born after 1971, second-class citizens and unable to participate directly in the Act. Due to the slow pace of our government in which it works, in total conveyance of land hinders the regional and village corporations to properly develop whatever resources that are on the land. Our elders, which should be given greater benefits, are passing on before enjoying their earthly just reward. In some cases, the Act has caused much confusion, especially amongst our elders, in the inability to do what they once enjoyed doing without any restrictions. I feel we haven't moved fast enough to fulfill the Self-Determination Act to have our own people direct their own destiny. Instead, we allow the non-native to direct our destinies. We hear the cry that our people aren't educated enough. The last decade, I have seen more and more of our people completing college, and if given half the chance to prove themselves, they can do the job. It's been greed that has caused much of this delay, and both those in offices, along with the government, wanting to see us as complete failures. I am confident we can persist. They may kill the body, but the spirit of our people will prevail. These are my personal feelings about ANCSA in my own observation since the implementation of the Act. And like I said earlier, I have a lot of respect for those people that looked after our rights. And I would hope that with your findings that we'll have some of these inequities corrected as we go along here. And I'm glad we have that avenue in which to pursue those wrongs that is facing our people today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Could I have the written statement, please? Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Berger, I am Louise Keller. I was born and raised in Nome. I am a member of our board of directors of Sitnasauk Native Corporation. And when I was first elected 3 years ago, I was 24 years old. And I must say that I was quite overwhelmed by some of the decisions that I had to make at that time. but I have persisted for 3 years now, and I am proud to say that Sitnasauk is an economically viable corporation, and we are lucky to be one of the successful corporations in our region. And it's largely due to the fact that Nome does have an economic base here on which to base this success. And yet I see around our other villages around here who are in need of an economic base in order to survive still. When I was going to school at University of Alaska Fairbanks, I studied the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act under Dennis Demert and some of the flaws that he pointed out to us in ANCSA were, one, that there is a divisiveness about it in which the surface and the subsurface rights are divided between the village corporation and the regional corporation. And this makes it difficult to come to a consensus as to how our mineral rights should be used. I think this is one of the major flaws in ANCSA, and that this, if there is some way in which the village corporations could get these subsurface rights, I think it would be more just. And I mainly say this because there are people who do not live in the villages who are going to be making decisions that are going to affect the lives of the people who do live in the villages. ANCSA forced us to become an economic body of group of individuals. And like I said before, Sitnasauk has been able to do that, and we have passed out dividends in the past to our shareholders. However, since we are facing 1991, and the prospect of our land being taken away, as a shareholder and as a native, I must say that you can have all the dividends that I have received as long as we can keep this land in our hands. I feel that in my 28 years here living in Nome, the happiest days of my life were when we were out fishing and living off the land. And when I was a young girl, I was one of six children, and we had to do this in order to survive. I still see that as a necessity for many of our surrounding villages of Nome. And yet I see us here in Nome being more on the cash economy. We all need to have jobs in order to survive. But we still do use many of our traditional foods around here, and I think this should be continued. As a board member, I see one of our big needs for a lot of our shareholders is to educate them about ANCSA. This act is still alien to many of our people. Many of them do not understand what it means. I think that to the shareholders need to reach out and educate themselves, as well as our corporations providing programs to educate our people. 1991 is 6 years away. 6 years, that's not long. I have a child that's 3 years old, and it seems like only yesterday that she was born. Some of my friends in college see 1991 as a huge stock market where many of the more successful corporations will be buying out a lot of the less successful corporations. In order to avoid losing control of our corporations and losing our lands, I think it is very necessary that we assert these views and make these known as a group, as one group of people, to those who represent us in Washington and also in Juneau. I think it is very important that this be done soon. I was not really prepared to come up and speak, but as I listened to all the others, I felt that I had to make some of these, I had to state some of what I felt as I see many of you here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Jack Brown. I'm from the White Mountain Native Corporation. I was just elected the president of the corporation this year. And what I'd like to say today is on a little bit of 1971, especially children that were born after 1971. I myself don't have any children, but I've got nieces and nephews, and my cousins have children. As I understand right now, they are not given shares either in the regional corporation or the village corporation. In a few years, I might be gone, but they'll still be here. I know I would like to see these children being able to get shares so that they can be a part of the regional corporation as well as the village corporations. Right now, they aren't receiving anything, but for the White Mountain Native Corporation, what we are trying to do is we had already started a program where children of stockholders will be able to share, and I say this, we try to help them education-wise. The corporation had set aside so much a year to be put into a scholarship fund where the students will be able to benefit a little bit from the village corporation. But that's not enough, I don't think. I think they should be able to share by getting shares of both the regional corporation and the village corporation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Betty Sikor. I'm from Elam. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Berger for being here and the Alaska Native Review Commission for having us come here to speak and to learn from each other what we need or we need not. I'm only going to ask a little bit about subsistence. You said our hunting and fishing rights would be extinguished. Lots of us at home live on hunting and fishing. I do too. I myself, I hunt and fish, and so do most everyone. There are lots of our old people and young people in villages who don't have jobs, but they have ways of hunting and fishing, and they need that food. And when you go to store to buy beef or chicken, it's real expensive, especially when you don't have jobs. And it's even hard to get food stamps. You gotta wait 6 weeks. You know, they gotta investigate everything. Like you were a criminal or something. I don't know why they wanna know everything, but you're hungry. By 6 weeks, you might starve. If we can't hunt and fish anymore, if they don't want us to hunt and fish anymore on our land, I hope these people come to us and tell us, show us, how else to live. Make the beef cheaper, make the chicken cheaper. It's real hard, even though I work, to go to store. But I get lots of help from people at home who hunt and fish to eat when I can't do it myself. I hope we can, in some ways, find a way to keep our land so we can hunt and fish. Our elders do that too. We pick berries besides hunting and fishing. And when you don't hunt and fish, you're hungry because to go to store is expensive. When you don't have a job, even you have a job when you got to support your kids. And that's all I'm going to speak on. No, there are other people here from Elam, too. They'll probably touch on something else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sega.
I want to thank you for coming up this area. I'm testifying as an individual and as a mother. My name is Anukshak, Mary Jane Litchard. I have to apologize. I wanted to make it here by 2 o'clock, but I was chasing my little 2-year-old who kept running away from me, and and so I missed out about first half hour. But I want to prepare something, but being a mother and being it's just so busy that I could just testify from what I've been thinking about. It's been bothering me about talking about land. I feel I've been feeling that I will never get land, even with this ANSCA, with this land claims. I was young when they came and started this land claims, telling us that we're going to get money and land, and I never see, I'd see a little bit of the money, but never get any land yet. And I don't know who in the world started this about owning and building boundaries and dividing and separating people, when this whole world is made for all the people that live here on earth. This is like God's land, and when He made the Eskimo people, we learned to govern ourselves and learn the people shared and built sod homes, and it was a hard life, but it was happy, joyful. Nowadays, when I try wear mukluks and I want to go Anchorage or something and walk on pavement, it hurts my feet. I like walking on land better. And now I see all this pavement here in Nome, and try and carry a child and walk on pavement. Oh, my feet just complains. And more people are coming into Alaska. We're becoming minority instead of majority. And so many of them are material people. They're not spiritual people like majority of us Eskimos are. And I hate seeing other countries where I see on TV where they strip mine land and ruin the sky, the air, the water. They think about making money and not about the lives of people, about how healthy they're going to live. And I really believe that since, like me, like in order to survive, I have to go out there and collect fish, dry it, collect the greens, collect berries, just so we could survive during the long winter months because of financial reasons, because everything is so high. And to me, since we are spiritual people and we thank God a lot, He keeps supplying us. And the people who, like in the Lower 48, who are so materialistic and not spiritual anymore, and more material people are governing, going into Congress and being blinded like to the welfare of people, that people have needs, and that because we thank the great provider and our creator, He keeps supplying us with these foods, and we can't remain quiet. We can't be remaining quiet any longer, especially since the immigrants came and they took our furs, and then they took our whales, and then gold, oil, and now they're trying to trick us out of our land. And they also brought in new germs in the past and nearly wiped us out, wiped out our ancestors. And I don't like it when I travel, and I like all people, all humans. But it frustrates me when I when I meet a new white person like down Anchorage or Fairbanks and try to talk to them, and then later they tell me they don't like me because I'm getting rich and having all this land, and they don't even understand what we go through and how this ANSCA is not getting me rich and not giving me land, and I have to explain to them. And then they'll either blush and say they apologize, but I don't like that when someone think that, you know, that way. about inheriting to children, or I still really don't understand about stock. Need to be educated about this stock business. When I watched that stock exchange on TV, people screaming, hollering, paper flying all over the place, I don't see how in the world they can buy stock. It just looks, I'd probably faint. Oh, gee. But I don't want to die just so my children can inherit my stock, my little children. And I want to live to see my grandchildren so I could teach them about the Eskimo way of life. And children nowadays are going to school earlier and getting educated. My children will be educated faster than I was, because and I was educated faster than my grandparents and my mothers in the white man's way. But still, it was real frustrating, just because I could not see the blackboard. I could not hear the teacher. I was hard of hearing. I was a sickly child with TB. That I was labeled all through grade school as a retarded child, and so I did not receive a very good education because of being labeled and being misunderstood because of for medical reasons or. And it's like there's a lot of pressure nowadays to live here, live in this times, especially about hunting. I can't go out and I don't know how to hunt. I wasn't taught how to go out there and study the ice or how to hunt properly. I could only do simple things, lady jobs. There's so much regulations that just really confuses me. It gets me frustrated, and especially about I'm so tired of paying high bills. These people, newcomers come in and teach us how to live off oil and live off their food, and when I think about it, we could have been rich. We were living already on rich lands, and yet someone else control over the money, control everything except us. And my dreams of seeing a community where we use our surroundings, like they built these new houses for, the government built these new houses and they crack easily, they're cold, they fall apart. When we could have put our input in and design our own homes like a modern way with sod and lots of insulation and using windmills or whatever. We could have been saving a lot of money, or not saving a lot of money, but we could have been living easier right now if we let our people make decisions about how to build our communities instead of someone in Washington, D.C. deciding for us. And I thought that when Alaska was bought from Russia, I thought it was just a treaty just for fur trading. It wasn't to buy the land or anything. And then all of a sudden the United States owned us, and I wasn't even born an American. I was just born an Alaskan. And I really thought that there was, I never really studied into it, but I thought it was just a treaty. Do you understand about that? About the Was it just a treaty for fur trading?
No, it was a treaty for the purchase of Russia's rights in Alaska, and whatever those rights may have been, the USA regarded it as giving them sovereignty over Alaska, and that is the way they proceeded thereafter. So a lot of people bring up the Treaty of Purchase of 1867. Its main significance, I suppose, for Alaska Natives is that it said that all the rights of the Alaska Natives were to be respected. But ever since 1867, the United States has treated Alaska as a jurisdiction over which it has sovereignty and the right to make laws and the right to expropriate property and so on. And so whatever Russia thought they were doing, the Americans certainly took the view that it gave them the right to assume jurisdiction over Alaska and to incorporate it into the United States of America.
Okay. And when I just recently, Tundra Times put out this issue about AFN explaining about ANSCA. Every time I read the word Native, one time I looked up the word Native in a dictionary, and it said that Native means we are to be born in a certain land. And when I write poetry and I want to use the word Native, I have to find another word, and that word would be Aborigines. It's my understanding from the dictionary is that I'm still trying to get educated in a lot of this in the white education and understanding the English language, because anyone can say like they're native of England or native of any kind of land, and I don't like labeling when I read articles. There's a lot of labeling been going on, and I guess it's like big test for all kinds of cultures in the world. All of us were, God created so many different cultures in the world, and it's kind of neat to have all kinds of different cultures, that way we won't have to be bored with each other. But I wish that our government would really respect, ever since they came into this new land, they've been pushing us Natives around, and I feel that this ANSCA is like a kind of, it's good in some ways, but to my children not being able to inherit or not being able to have stock or whatever, it's real confusing. I don't really understand it so clearly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Peter Buck again, and I just want to ask you a question about the land. White Mountain area is the Fish River tribe area, and the Fish River goes up into the Fish River flat area. Now, the village has set up their land allotments, and council has set up their land allotments. Ilam has set up their land allotments. Now, it covers all of White Mountain, all of Council, all of Golovin, Ilam. But that one fissure of flat area, there's some native allotments in there for camping and a few native allotments in there. But that whole area there is, we can't put it under ANSCA because we can't extend our lands any further. Our land under ANSCA goes almost to Fish River, but the whole Fish River area is out and open, and ANSCA can't do anything about it. Right now, BLM is selling land in that area to anybody that'll buy it. And I know there's a couple that were sold up there, and I was wondering if there was any way to extend councils, land allotment, White Mountain allotment, Golovin, Ilum's. Ilum goes into that area of Fish, Golovin goes up and hunt. And I was wondering if there's any way to extend the allotments so we can cover that area too. Because I don't think that was enough.
You're talking about the land selected by the...
By the village. And
by the village.
Yeah.
Whether you can extend that.
Yes.
Well, I don't think so if you've already completed your selections. That is, if you've got no more, if you've already completed your selections, I don't see how you can extend.
Is there any way we can put a stipulation where we can extend our village allotments? I mean, could we do it now before 1991?
I don't see how...
My name is Carl Ashenfelter, and I'm from the White Mountain Native Corporation area. I get frustrated over the idea that some other country came in here and took our land from us without even consulting the natives. We had no say-so in the Statehood Act. People from the outside come in here and their numbers alone were enough to pass the Statehood Act, I think, and I can't see where that's legal. We can't